This is the best of the Bean Found Show.
Expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day.
Good morning and welcome to the Being Found Show, your radio resource for helping your business find your online buying audience. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my co-host, Jake.
How you doing, Chauncey?
Good morning, Jake. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
You know, I'm good. I figured I would start this off with a rant.
Okay.
Because just last night I was thinking, man, if only I had it. Avenue where I could talk to business owners and tell them to stop doing this one thing that just pisses me off when I'm out as a customer. And then I'm all, oh, I do have that. I can do that tomorrow. You know, so here it is. I want to put an end to the change taco.
I actually don't know what that is.
Okay. I understand that we live in a world where it's all technology and we can't expect our employees to count change back because that's like counting backwards and dealing with money. That's like, I mean, I get it. You know, people are beyond that. But don't hand me the change taco. Don't take my bills, fill it with my change, and then like offer it to me as though you're like doing me a favor. Like, does anybody in this world just grab this wad and just shove it in their pocket? You know, hand me the change first. Yeah. I keep my money in my pockets. I mean, I have a wallet. But I tend to have some bills on one side and some change on the other. So I take my change, I put it in one, and I take my sort of loose bills and I put it in the other, you know?
Yeah. You know,
but
they
who shoves it all in there?
It's called like a credit card or a debit card. You can use those now.
Yeah,
you don't
I know.
Get change after your purchases.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, you know, just.
But, as long I as mean, you know. Yeah, I do that most of the time. And then when on those rare times that I use cash, it's like. I guess we've just come so far. It's like.
They're trying to tell you something.
Yeah, it's like the cashier is just all, oh, here's your weird precious thing. That,
yeah.
Like, you know,
put this in
like,
your pocket.
Right, totally.
The dryer.
Yeah, totally. Ball it up quick in the paper so nobody will get it. You know, so you don't have to teach your employees to count change back. I realize that that's a little too much. And there's a bit of a snide insult in there as well. How hard is it to count change back? But you do have to tell your employees, don't hand Chauncey the change taco. It pisses him off.
Yeah.
All right. So we're here. We're talking about the news in this last half of our first segment, as we do here on the Being Found Show. In the news this week, let's see. Facebook, they're coming down on Facebook for not really being able to give any answers about what they're doing to sort of stop the election meddling and what they're doing to better protect your privacy. But I think that that's not shocking. I think that Facebook really sort of collects things that it's important that they keep to themselves. You know, so I'm not surprised about the loosey-goosey answers that people are getting from Facebook, but, you know, people seem to want more. I don't know. How do you feel about Facebook and privacy? You're a lot younger, so you have a much different view of privacy, I'm assuming.
It's true. I don't really care.
That's what I was thinking.
That's pretty much it. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they can figure out a better way to get the ads off my page that I don't want to see and put the better ads that I may want to see, then by all means, go for it. You know, I will say this. The data they collect ought to be around services they can provide to me, like showing me ads. They don't need to be looking into anything else, as far as I'm concerned. But.
Right. And you know, the other thing is the election meddling. They're trying to pull down sites, and they're trying to stop some things, but, like, where do you draw the line? You know, I have another show that does, like, you know, paranormal. It's like, are you going to pull, and don't get me wrong, I do not believe in the flat earth, but are you going to pull down flat earthers?
Right.
just because they're believing something squirrely, you know.
Yeah, I actually think, you know, as a business, they have the right to do pretty much whatever they want. Mm-hmm. When they cross a line, they'll suffer for it monetarily.
Right,
I think.
Yeah.
Provided there's enough of a free market to let some other people kind of creep up and kind of nip at their heels that people can go to.
Right, so, right. Yeah, there is, but nobody's really taking it. They are really just an institution at this point.
Yeah.
But I think last week we were talking about how amazing it is, like, when you see things like CBS and stuff like that fail and fall as new things like Netflix just kind of pop up out of the blue.
That, I mean, consider Xerox and Kodak. I mean, someone's going to do it better someday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true. All right, so next here in the news was people are taking breaks from their phones. You know, it was all over the news. It's weird how these things, like, explode.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you hear a snippet of it, and then it just runs, and, like, you know, you can easily say, like, oh, well, the media's doing that. They're all picking it up off of one another. But, you know, I see this explode in regular life and everything, so it's like, is life imitating media or is media imitating life? You know, it's like...
Definitely a little of both in this case, I think.
Because it was all over the news about Android and Apple trying to help people to monitor the amount of time that they're spending on their mobile devices.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it seems like a lot of people are cutting back on their own, you know.
Yeah, I actually watched a video this week of a product called the Go Light. Are you familiar with this product?
No.
Basically, it's a pretty cheap phone. It does nothing except make phone calls. There's no color screen. You can't watch videos. You can't do anything else but make a phone call. And it's designed for people who are going through this.
Right.
You know, to stop staring at their phone and just have that call functionality.
So it's designed to be like an old phone?
Exactly.
That's funny. You know, when I first, you know, I didn't have a fancy phone for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I hate talking on the phone. And I bought my new phone. At the time, it was a big fancy, the fanciest thing Android had out.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there for like 2 days playing on it and poking on it and installing stuff and deinstalling stuff. And then I got a phone call 2 days later, and I'm all, oh my God, I forgot I could get phone calls on this thing.
back when you had 2 days between phone calls.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now personal ones.
Yeah.
I still have 2 days.
Okay, well, yeah.
Nobody's calling me for a good time.
That's true. Every time
my phone rings, I'm just, I'll please be my wife. Because if it's not, it's somebody telling me something needs, there's a fire that needs to be put out.
Half the time that's me, I should add.
Yeah, that's true. actually, of the people that call me, you are my least disappointing.
Oh, great. You know? Wonderful.
And then the last one on here is California's Supreme Court ruled Yelp doesn't have to take down negative reviews. Mm. Basically, there was a lawyer, somebody put up a review about how much he sucked, and then he sued him. The guy didn't show up to court, so the lawyer won by default.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yelp was told to take it down. Yelp had nothing to do with the case, and Yelp came back and said, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Right.
And so the Supreme Court has ruled that Yelp doesn't have to take it down for their First Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get both sides of this. I guess we only have a minute until the break here, so I'm just going to throw it out there and hope that nobody goes out and Googles. I worked for another company,
mm-hmm.
and this other company and a client had a falling out. And then the guy went to Ripoff Report and wrote down that the owner of the company and Chauncey, like, totally ripped him off and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm like a paid hourly employee. I was like making minimum wage at the time and just doing what my boss told me to do. I was totally not, you know, and like I wrote to this place and they wouldn't take it down, even though I am really not the responsible party and had nothing to do with it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I don't know. This one leaves a bitter taste in my mouth. You're listening to The Being Found Show. When we come on back, we'll keep going.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851. All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show, your local buying resource. Not buying resource, your local resource for finding customers online. Last week, during the marketing process, we were talking about changing up your mindset to get ready to do some marketing. You know, even if you're already out there doing marketing, this stuff is still important to you because, you know, a lot of the times you skip the basics. You know, I am self-taught as a web developer, as a musician, as a lot of things. I'm self-taught. And years later, I came along and took some things to learn the basics, and really I find that they helped me drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Code Academy. You familiar with Code Academy?
I am.
Like, I had all my kids take it, and I decided I was going to take it with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I actually learned some stuff from HTML and CSS and JavaScript Code Academy. So
yeah,
it's like,
nothing else. You learn how to do it faster. Maybe.
Right, right, yeah. And some, yeah, shortcuts faster, so on and so forth. So last week we talked about getting your mindset out of just operations. And really this is where most small businesses fail. And that is that they're so focused on operations that they ignore other things like marketing and strategy, mm-hmm, and day-to-day business, like billing and stuff like that, because they're so focused on basically a metric that easily converts. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I definitely get that.
That makes sense.
And I've definitely fallen victim to it throughout my years of doing this. It took me a while to get out of it. So today we're going to cover... All right, so you got your mindset going, you're ready to go. Now, are you available? Of course, this is the Being Found show, and a big part of it is being found. But before you're being found, are you available? You know, and what does that look like, and how do you do it? Because nowadays, you know, a big cornerstone here of the Being Found show is the idea that you're everywhere that your customers are, and part of that is communicating with them in the ways that they communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's a lot of statistics about millennials and phone calls and texting. And basically that if they can text the business, they're much more apt to communicate with them mm-hmm. than if they have to pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
You know, so being available via text, via phone, via email, via social media, all these outlets, in order to be found there, you have to be available mm-hmm. there. Because they can find you, but if they give you a call and you don't answer, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. As a, you know, marketing company, do you ever deal with this where you get a customer that's, like, coming to you because he's, like, desperate, saying that he needs more money and blah, 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 but you know that he never answers his phone?
Well, not necessarily to the degree that I think you're talking about, but,
yeah.
But sure. I mean, I think with everyone who comes to us, there's definitely avenues, they're just not using.
Right.
Google My Business has begun providing a texting service where someone can actually type in, you know, I need a carpet cleaner in Reading. You get the Google My Business listing right there off to the side, and it says, text this business. I mean, that's kind of a feature that they offer now. I don't know what the percentage is, but almost no one is using this free service that will let clients do an internet search and then text your phone directly. And, I mean, if they're just saying, hey, give me a quote. I got 2,000 square feet. What's your quote?
Right.
And you send it to them. That was 30 seconds. And you may have a 50-50 chance, I mean, provided it was a good quote,
right,
of that person now spending money with you. There's no better ROI, and you captured someone who you may never have captured.
Right. And plus, you didn't have to have any phone skills.
Right.
There was no, hi, this is Chauncey's Cleaning Service. How may I help you?
You weren't paying a salesperson. You might have been interrupted during a movie on a Saturday night.
Right.
But you're a business owner. You should expect that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, being a business owner, I'm sure lots of them have heard this, but, you know, it's that thing that, you know, oh, you get to choose your own hours, and the answer is, yeah, all of them.
All 23 yeah. out of 24.
Right, yeah. You know, so the big focus here is how does one do that? Because I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this, especially some of the older ones. And they're wondering, how does somebody track all these different avenues and get work done? You know, that's really the hard part. And, you know, I would say that the number one headache that I have, and we were going to talk about this in the tools coming up next, but is notifications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like, last segment we were talking about Facebook. If you go into Facebook and check the notification settings thing, there's, like, 20 checkboxes. You can get notified, like, every time anybody does anything for no reason at all. You know, your friend's friend had a birthday, and now they're sending you an email notification.
Right.
And you're all like, you know. So cleaning up those notifications mm-hmm. the day you create an account or immediately doing it, I think is a big, mm-hmm. big step in taking care of that. Because if you think about it, you know, managing the phone and email all while doing the grunt work is really hard. So if you're an owner-operator trying to do all these things is like, I mean, just totally daunting because you're trying to do emails, you're trying to get the phone number, you're trying to get the text messages, social mentions and questions, managing review communications, like how long do you want an unhappy customer to basically blast you on Yelp before you come along and say, let me fix your thing.
Yeah, and you're really touching on, I mean, you're covering a lot of pragmatic tools, but I mean, the underlying kind of philosophy about this is like, you know, how good are you at training the guy below you to do some of this stuff? And how much are you willing to delegate these things out?
Right, but there's a lot of owner-operators out there.
That's true, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who just aren't in the position necessarily to do that, you know.
And all they can do is optimize the amount of time they spend on one and the other.
Right.
And that's kind of their limit.
Right.
Really.
You know, so I think one thing that'll help people sort of wrap their brain around it is that ultimately, in the end, your phone really can be your hub for all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically you're dealing with mainly just emails and phone calls.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're able to sort of bottleneck those as much as possible into what it can be, and then you really have a chance at doing it as an owner-operator. Now, moving on to somebody who is delegating that responsibility, a lot of small businesses that I've worked for over the years suffer greatly from micromanaging.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be one of those guys that's just, oh, yeah, delegate, free, man, do it, make it happen. Because a lot of the business owners are sitting there going, yeah, I have to micromanage because a lot of these people that I'm hiring are dumb as rocks or don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I forget what I was referencing for last night, but, you know, you can only reach your hand into a bucket of apples that's 60% full of horse poop and get an apple so many times, you know.
I said that kind of went over my head, but I think I get it.
You know, basically it's a blind shot every time they're going in, and you never really know who you're going to get. And go for it.
I feel like this is going to be my thing. I'm going to suggest a book once a week because I'm reading a book that addresses just this.
Right. Oh, really?
Jack Stack, The Great Game of Business, talking about how to turn those people who don't really care into people who do.
Really?
So, if that's an issue for you, consider Jack Stack's The Great Game of Business.
All right. There's I refuse to believe it's not an issue for anybody who hires.
Yeah.
You know, it is just that, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to find that right person to delegate to. And a lot of those people are really going to sort of like the communications role, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you don't want to get some, you know, slack-jawed mouth breather. Who's going to be all, this is our business. What do you want?
I get plenty of those when I make phone calls.
Do you?
you got to hire someone with a good personality, and then you got to make them understand why it's so important.
Right.
You know, this is how you help your business make money. This is how you find your job security. You know, it's a good thing.
Right. This is how you find your job security. It's really the main
motivator. And I don't mean you'll get fired if you do it wrong. I mean,
well, that's the main motivator I've come across when I was younger.
You can help us get a customer,
you know? Right. Yeah, so get some incentives out there. All right, we're coming up on the commercial break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the tools and some of the ways that you can better manage being in available communications with your customers. So
think less but see it grow. Like a ride, oh. The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
It's the Shasta County Mini Maker Fair. It's the open call for makers. So, what do you make? We're celebrating engineering, arts, crafts, science, technology, and do-it-yourself. Your chance to show off your work. Everything from robotics, electronics, gaming, sewing, blacksmithing, crafters, student projects, dance performers, 3D printing, music, performers, and much more. Application deadline is August 9th for the September 15th Maker Fair. Contact makers at MakerFairShasta.com or visit ShastaCounty.MakerFair.com.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
This is the best of the Bean Found Show.
Alright, welcome back to the Being Found Show, where we're helping you, the local business owner, find your online and real world customers. Mm-hmm. You know, because there used to be a difference between the online and the real world customers, but there ain't no mo.
That's right.
It's all the same. You know, my I think my mother-in-law might be the only person I know who doesn't have a smartphone. You know, she's got some sort of a, got the jitterbug or something.
Life alert.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. All right, so in our last section, we were talking about being available for those communications so that when you are found by your customers, they are able to get in touch with you, that you pick up the phone when they call, that you do all of these things. And, you know, something that I probably should have thrown in before is you don't need to pick up the phone every time they call. You know, you can have business hours. It's just when they pick up the phone and you don't answer, you know, maybe you have something there informing them of your business hours or informing them of when they can get in touch with you. All right, so here we're going to talk about some tools to allow you to better manage those communications. First up on my list, at least, is Gmail. You know, whatever email you use, that's fine, but I don't see... I've used a lot of emails, and I got to tell you, Gmail's where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, so even when I'm setting up a website for a client, I tend to have Google host the email because, you know, like right now I'm moving a client trying to launch their website, but all their website is on, like, SmartMail, and they're using Outlook. And so now I'm going to have to download... 7 email addresses in the history and upload it. It's just ridiculous. Okay, so that's digressing a bit. So your email is your number one source here, and people might be all, well, my number one source is my telephone. Well, your Gmail and Google Voice and stuff like that really can still be your number one. You know, I have my personal phone and a Google Voice, and Google Voice can be set up in one of two ways, that when you receive a phone call, it tells you who's calling. And that's great if you're using it personal, but I'm not using it personal. It doesn't really matter who's calling. So when I get a call from Google Voice, it just says my business name. So this way, if somebody's calling me, Chauncey, I can answer it and say, hey, John, what's up?
Yeah.
But if something's calling my business... I can say, how may I help you?
Right.
You know, and get both of those done from the same thing. And also, bringing it back around to Gmail, if I'm not able to answer it and that person leaves a message, they will send me an email and a text message of the transcript of that person's message. Oh. You know.
Yeah.
So there's one way to get all these things down, especially also using Google Voice, which, you know, I didn't even put on the list here. Google Voice, you can have sort of... canned responses, like you could have a weekend response, you could have an end of day response, you know, you could have a you did call during our business hours and I'm just busy right now response.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things there, and then of course, you know, your next tool, of course, is your cell phone. That's where you're going to get your email, and that's where you're going to get those phone calls. I realize that this is all kind of like no brainer stuff, but I'm just trying to help wrap one's brain around the fact that from your phone, using tools and following through with a path, this really is quite manageable. You know?
Yeah.
All right. So now on to the more advanced, maybe, app things. I guess before we do that, social media and review notifications. We were talking about this last time. Number one thing you want to do if you're managing your stuff via email is you want to go to all of your accounts and you want to tell them via the notification settings the things that you want to receive notifications of.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to hear on Yelp that somebody that you're friends with posted a review on a Chinese restaurant in San Jose. You know, that's probably not a practical email for your business account, you know. All right, so moving on. You know, managing social media is one that really sort of freaks people out, especially in the time consumption and in the arena of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to get distracted on social media. It's like you sit down, you're trying to do some work, and the next thing you know, you're like in the dark web of like family pictures and cat photos. You know, it's like, how did I get here?
Yeah, time sucker.
Or total time sucker. So, there are a lot of good websites, and they come with apps as well to do this, but Hootsuite is probably the biggest one. That's Hoot like an owl, Suite like a hotel room with more than one room. By the way, if you get a hotel room and they say it's a suite and there's only one room, you didn't get a suite.
spelled S-W-E-E-T when they say
yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's sweet. All right. And so Hootsuite is kind of cool because you can the free account allows you to connect three profiles. It's good for one person. So you connect your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to create columns. So one can be solely the communications. You know, if you it does apply to other types of businesses. So it's like you could put in there, what are my friends up to and stuff like that. You could do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as somebody just trying to manage communications, just for each one of those, you just create one dashboard that shows you communications coming to you directly and maybe a column of what's called mentions, where people mention you, and that can show up and you can respond to that as well. And really, there's no other distraction. You can have it all right there and really sort of make it through and be totally available. And I say that you can connect three, but I mean, if you pay for this thing, you can connect all of them.
Yeah.
You know, right down to Yelp and Tumblr and all sorts of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, YouTube and, you know, pretty much anything you can think of, you can connect and pull into this thing.
Yeah.
All right. So this is one that I don't do, that I really should do. Scaling with multiple email addresses. Like, if you set up... So here I am. I'm Chauncey. I'm running the business. And even though it's still me, I'm an owner-operator... but I'm planning on expanding and getting other employees. Having multiple email addresses, like one for sales point contact, like if somebody fills out the form or tries to contact you, there's sales, and one is billing, and mm-hmm. one is social media, and basically they're all coming right to my email. You know, you're forwarding them all to my email. But as I expand, I'm able to delegate those out mm-hmm. and get them out of my email.
Yeah.
You know, and so that is something that I've really been planning on focusing on here. I think that it's a really good idea. And also it really sort of sets you up to do the one thing, especially smaller businesses that are pushing medium-sized business. I always ask them, I'm just all, well, what's the one email on your website that the contact form should go to? And they're all, well, maybe it should go to Janice, but possibly it should go over to Alden. And I'm just all like... You don't have a main email that these things should go to, but it's really common
yeah.
that like they're trying to figure that out. And I'm all, you have had a website for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just making it better. Like, where has it been going? And they don't know.
Yep.
You know, so you know, scaling that out and making sure, because here's the deal: if you have contact@mybusiness.com, and a guy like me comes to you and says, where do you want that email to go? You say contact to my business. And those are all going to Alton. But we don't want them to go to Alton anymore. We now want them to go to Janice. So now we take contact to my business and we switch it over to Janice.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing gets changed. You didn't have to pay a guy like me to go through your entire website to make sure that everything's cool. You are structurally safe and sound, and you're able to keep in contact with your customers. All right, we got 1 minute left, so my last thing is going to be... clean your inbox. Keep your inbox clean. Don't delete anything. File it all. And do not keep things in your inbox that you need to work on. Basically, if you need to work on it, it needs to go into your project management system, and you need to clear that thing out of the inbox so that when you glance at your inbox, you can tell if somebody needs to be responded to or not.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go through it and be all, oh, did I already do that? Did I already do that? Because every time you say that, you're wasting seconds. Seconds add up to minutes. Minutes add up to hours, and hours add up to more hours that you're working instead of time that you should be watching reruns of The X-Files and hanging out with your family. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back.
A bitter man, he spoke of women. I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
This is Diane Hawks at the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
With the changing of seasons, maybe it's time for a change for your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to discover River Point. River Point, by Reading's largest home builder, Palomar Builders, is located in South Reading. These quality-built homes include large, deep lots surrounded by mature oak trees featuring RV parking, energy efficiency, exceptional interior and exterior features. And just wait until you see the kitchens. Designer kitchens, Palomar Builders has spared no expense in the room you spend much of your time in. They feature granite countertops plus many other quality amenities and your stylish master suite. With its tree-lined streets, River Point provides quality living at reasonable pricing. Discover River Point in South Reading by Palomar Builders, your ultimate home. So make plans to come see the beautiful model home at River Point in South Reading. For more information, contact Debbie Morgan, Coldwell Banker, CNC Properties at 604-2127. River Point in South Reading with Palomar Builders, your ultimate home.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. You know, our roles here, Jake and I. Jake is much more of a project manager, front-end developer, and I'm much more the techie guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's rare that Jake would bring a tool for us to talk about that's a dev tool that I have never heard of. And you brought it, and he started to show it to me, and I'm like, what? Oh, man, I totally should know about this thing. So what are we talking about?
Pretty slick thing. It's called Lighthouse. I think it's been under development for a while, and this is the first time I've gone in and looked at it when I got some usable stuff out of it. So what it is, and the way that I found this is I was actually looking at a study that was done. It said that 15% of the world's population has some type of disability, you know, and that's everything from color blindness to deafness, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And so if your website is missing some accessibility tools, then you could potentially be missing out on about 15% of your website's traffic.
Right, especially here in America, because here in America we've created a world where people with disabilities are a thoroughly active part of our mm-hmm. economy.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know, absolutely.
Maybe in other countries that may not be the case, but yep. here in America that's the case.
Oh yeah. So I was looking at ways to kind of understand this whole accessibility thing, and I found Lighthouse. is really awesome and really simple to use. So I'm gonna go through quickly how you can use it. So what you need to do is you need to download Google Chrome, open up the web page in question on Google Chrome, right click so it brings up your options, and hit inspect. Once you've hit inspect, all you need to do is scroll over in your tabs, and there's an option. And I honestly, let me grab it here, sorry. So audits is what it's called. And you run a Lighthouse audit, and it gives you 5 performance indicators, 1 in 100 in a row. So it'll give you an indicator of performance, progressive, web app, accessibility, best practices, and SEO. All of those things in order, very simple to read, simple to use. It identifies where you're doing well and where you need to improve. So really simple tool to use.
I'm guessing performance is page speed?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and so do you need to install an extension, or is this thing just there now?
It's already there. No extension.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I don't know where we got this term, but, you know, my wife is very aware of everything that's going on around her. She can, her peripheral vision, she's got it all down.
Mm-hmm.
I'll, like, look in the fridge and be all, we're out of mustard, and she'll, like, come up and she'll grab the mustard. And so yeah. We refer to this as male refrigerator blindness. And... You know, there's something about work and the repetition of doing work that I didn't even notice this tab come up.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And I am in that thing...
All the time.
I it's pretty much open. My second monitor is the inspection tool, yep. You know.
Yep.
And so it's really... I'm really sort of excited to brag to my peers who haven't brought this up with me, you know,
and be like, oh, yeah, guess what I found.
Are you familiar with the... No, I got to treat it like I've, you know, like I've been using it for days.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and be like, what? You guys didn't know about the audit tool? You guys are lame. But, you know, accessibility is something that is the next ranking factor. It is the next big ranking factor. It's only a matter of time until Google basically starts dinging websites for not being accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Because Google doesn't always know if you have an accessibility issue. And if Google does know that you have an accessibility issue and your website doesn't fit that criteria, it sure isn't going to show you up, you know, have you show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've tried to tell this to SEO companies, but none of them want to get ahead of it on that one. But I definitely think it's one to get ahead of. If you have all your accessibility in place and then all of a sudden they roll out this thing, what you're going to notice is all your competitors drop and up you go.
Yeah.
So it's like, plus, you know, at the risk of sounding like a total chump, it's kind of the right thing to do. You know, if you... People have disabilities and they need your service, you should probably be available for them. It's like, that's the name of the show. The show is the Being Found Show. Who do you want to be found by? People Everyone. With money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's so true. It's kind of weird. Like, how often is the right thing to do also the thing that happens to make you more money in the long run?
Right.
So.
Rare. Normally, it's the wrong thing to do that makes you more money
in
the long run.
You know, I'm finding out, though, like, long run, what goes around comes around.
Right.
Do the right thing, and I think your business will do okay.
Well, I've definitely learned that from SEO, that staying white hat and not doing anything black hat, or really even gray hat.
Mm-hmm. To anyone who doesn't know, black hat is bad. Bad SEO.
Right.
White hat is good.
Right. Think of cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every time... I don't think I've ever been hit where Google rolls out a big update and all my clients crash, you know, and I've known lots of people who have, you know, but, you know, they tend to roll out an update and it doesn't really affect me, or I kind of go up a little bit and I'm just all, all right, we're doing the right thing here.
Yeah. But everyone who's playing the sly mouse.
Right.
When the cat updates his algorithm, you're done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those backlinks, man, that killed some huge companies.
Mm-hmm.
And brought them down. So, yeah, very exciting tool. Let's see, what we were going to discuss here is that we're right at the end of the show, but that Google was going to be taking over the internet. I think you guys already know this, but business owners, so we'll cover this in another section, but I'll give this to you now. Notice that when you're searching, how more and more answers are being given to you from the Google results page, and you're not even leaving the page.
Mm-hmm.
Just notice this, and then ask yourself, am I connected to this? You know, and then do yourself a number one thing. If somebody calls you offering to help you with your Google page, say no. You need to pick up the phone and call somebody and ask them to help you. Pretty much anybody who's calling you and trying to sell you something, say no.
Mm-hmm.
For anything. Cold calls is always a no for me. But you should pick up the phone and try to get somebody to help you with that if you're not available on that. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show, the greatest show about buying customers on the internet for small and medium-sized business in the Northern Hemisphere on the left.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington.
Welcome to this house of prayer for
this morning at the Washington National Cathedral.
It is an honor to host this service for Senator McCain.
Paying tribute to Senator John McCain, who passed away last weekend at the age of 81. And among the first to take the podium was daughter Meghan McCain, paying tribute to her father's love of country.
Like so many other heroes, you leave us draped in the flag you love. You defended it. You sacrificed it. You have always honored it. It is good to remember, but we are Americans. We don't put our heroes on pedestals just to remember them. We raise them up because we want to emulate their virtues.
Two former U.S. presidents paying tribute to Senator McCain, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. President Trump says many countries have been, in his words, ripping off the U.S. when it comes to trade policies.
A country tariffs us, then we tariff them, and Congress comes down and they say, why are you tariffing?
The president spoke yesterday at a rally in Charlotte, North Carolina. In a city racked with violence, correspondent Tim McGuire reports more than 1,000 extra police officers will be on the streets of Chicago over the holiday weekend.
Chicago Police Commissioner Eddie Johnson has ordered an additional 1,400 police on patrol through Labor Day in a bid to head off an expected spike in gun violence.
Eight people are dead after a commercial bus they were riding in was hit head-on by a semi-truck on a New Mexico highway.
The lead accident reconstructionist that we have out there, the sergeant, who has worked hundreds of these scenes, said that this is the worst encounter of a collision with deaths that he's had in his time with the state police. He's seen a lot.
The state police chief, Pete Cassettis, three children among those seriously injured. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
What combination of foods really makes up a healthy, balanced diet? Dr. Charles Schneiderman offers a few insights.
Foods contain three major classes of nutrients: carbohydrate, protein, and fat. A healthy diet contains all three, but the optimal proportion debate has gone on for decades. Fruits and vegetables are rich in carbohydrate, meat and dairy are rich in protein, and nuts, oils, and butter are rich in fat. All are healthy. What fraction of each is best depends on age, health, and heredity.
Dr. Schneiderman says the new study appearing in the Lancet Public Health Journal does suggest that eating carbohydrates in moderation appears to be optimal for health and longevity. The United Airlines company is adding more flights and using bigger planes this fall to carry passengers to college football games across the South. The Chicago-based airline says the added seats will bring passengers to what it calls top college football markets, adding some 204,000 seats from September through November. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The father of a former Democratic U.S. Senate candidate and current Kentucky Secretary of State has been indicted on campaign fraud charges.
The 2014 U.S. Senate campaign in Kentucky, pitting Republican incumbent Mitch McConnell against Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes, was one of the country's most expensive campaigns that year. Federal Election Commission records show the Grimes campaign raised nearly $19 million. That paled in comparison to the more than $30 million raised by McConnell. Now, Grimes' father, Jerry Lundergan, is facing a federal indictment on charges he used his company to help fund the campaign and then lied about it. Lundergan has close ties to Bill and Hillary Clinton, who both campaigned for Grimes in her failed bid. I'm Mike Grossia.
Grimes is finishing up her second term now as Kentucky Secretary of State and is considering a run for governor in 2019. Grimes says the charges are politically motivated. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I actually had a list of taglines that I've been trying to work on here, but
you
you're listening.
Get all of them right
no,
now.
No,
yes.
I'm trying to work on it. I've been collecting some stuff, but let me tell you this first. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. This is a show about the paranormal and the conspiracy and UFOs and all that. And I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean. How are you doing?
Hello. Good.
How's your week going?
Pretty uneventful here. I've really not been doing much, almost at all. Finally got out of a hotel room in a rental area with my parents, and having my own room has apparently just destroyed any semblance of motivation I had to go out and do anything with my life, so I've just been, like, sleeping all week.
Well, I gotta say, living in hotel rooms is, like, not very motivating. It's like...
It motivates you to get anywhere but here, anywhere
right,
else in
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, yeah. So where are you staying now? Friends, or... Did you rent something? Or?
No, I'm currently living with my parents in the house that they rented before I go out and do something else.
Right, so they rented something, so
yes,
that's how you got
something.
Out of a hotel, you know.
Yes.
Right. So are you suburban?
We're actually in the same exact neighborhood as... So, yes, we're in the same neighborhood where the house that burned down is.
Really?
So we're right down the street from
You're down the street from
down
your burned down house.
Which is pretty... odd.
Have you ever seen the movie Gross Point Blank?
I have not.
Well, he leaves town and he ends up coming back and he goes back to his old house because he wants to, like, he's been gone for a decade and he's just mm-hmm. all, okay, well, I got to go back to my old house. And he, like, pulls up and it's now like a 7-Eleven. And he's just all, well, apparently you can't go home, but apparently you can shop there. You know, it's like, and so to live down the street from your burned down house, man, I'm not sure that's good for your parents.
Yeah, I don't know what the thinking on that particular choice was, mm-hmm. to be honest. But, hey, the whole neighborhood is just mauled
right.
by fire. Just, you know, there's this hill here, and it looks like it's been fighting with all the other hills. There's just, like, patches of trees
right.
torn out of it. And...
You know, it's interesting to watch what humanity is capable of. So here we are with these amazing people going and fighting and people teaming, fighting the fire, mm-hmm. you know, and people teaming up and like helping one another. And then on my way here today, there's this neighbor of mine and he does this every day. Like I'm constantly looking out the window and seeing him. He's like this, you know, maybe pushing 40, shirtless, beer gutted dude
sure.
with like hair that hasn't been combed.
Smoking, the Redding classes.
Smoking a cigarette while basically riding him around the block repeatedly on like a kid's hoverboard thing. One of those things that's like a Segway but without the arm.
Right. Right.
And like he's just constantly like cruising around, standing straight, smoking a cigarette, shirtless, in my apartment complex.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting
right.
to see the span of what of what humans are capable of, you know. We're capable of, you know, I'm sure I've said this on here before, but I used to work at this Bog Bean in Anderson, which was like a movie and used bookstore and stuff like that. And every day at like 1, I'd be working and looking out the window, and I'd see this guy come riding by with a Raiders beanie on, riding what is obviously his kid's dirt bike, carrying a 40 in a paper bag at like 1:30 in the afternoon. And I'm like looking at him going like, I either made some really good decisions in my life or some really bad ones because, you know, what's up with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, you say people are capable of pretty much anything, and the right circumstances. That's true, but we're not under the wrong circumstances. We're pretty much useless. You know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's
just a matter of the environment, really.
Yeah, I had a kid when I was 24, right? Harley, our youngest. And it makes me wonder what type of person, because up until I had a kid, I was not exactly kicking ass in this world.
Sure.
You know, I was off and on homeless, you know, kind of whatever drugs. I was kind of, you know, doing my thing and it, nothing. I had nothing. And so I had this kid, and then all of a sudden I have to step my life up.
Right.
And you know, this is 17 and a half years ago at this point. And like, I do often wonder, like, man, if I had not had that kid, who would I be today? You know?
Be riding a drinking fork.
Would I don't know. Would I have found inspiration someplace else, you know? Because, like, having a kid, like, most of my successes in life have been based mainly off of fear. You know, fear is a
like
major...
Like, I can't let this kid die.
Totally, man. Yeah, like, I
that's
like,
where I draw the line.
I've killed tons of fish, lost tons of pets, and then here I am, like, holding a baby, and I'm just like, oh my God, what am I going to do, you know? So, like,
oh,
fear...
Oh, man, I need some money. I need to get some of this dirt off the walls.
Yeah, totally, you know. I wake up one morning, and she's sitting in the corner. She's, like, one, and she's, like, chewing her tongue or something, and I'm like, what is this? And I reach in her mouth, and I pull out a mosquito hawk. She's sitting in the corner of my house eating a mosquito hawk, and I'm just all like,
well,
man, I'm going to have to...
She's more useful than I was.
Yeah, I got to kick up my parenting game, you know.
Or she takes care of the insects. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so, that's terrible, man. That's absolutely terrible. All right, so our guest tonight is exciting. We have Earl Grey. We're going to have to find out what's up with that name. That name is over the top.
Yeah, I have this weird feeling there's going to be some great story behind it.
There better be.
Yeah.
Unless he tells us that he's the 19th Earl of Grey.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, there really was an Earl of Sandwich.
I know, and I love that. Yeah. That's one of my favorite facts about...
Sandwiches.
Reality, basically, yeah. About just life, the universe, right. People, everything.
Right, right, yeah. Totally. Earl Grey is... Man, he's got a long title. All right, so let's bring up the title here. Earl Grey is the Assistant State Director of Southern California, a chief at MUFON, a chief field investigator, and star team at MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what the Mutual UFO Network is, it's a collection of researchers who really sort of try to follow the scientific principle and collect data on UFO sightings.
Yeah.
And if you're anything like me and you're a nerd, you first heard of MUFON on The X-Files.
We don't have any nerds listening to the show, Chauncey.
Yeah, yeah. Jared raised his hand. Jared knows. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been The X-Files for me, except I was born later. So for me, it was Fringe, but same
right.
idea.
All right. You know, I don't know. How much time do we got here? About 2 minutes. All right. You know Jake, who I work with, you used to work
yes.
with, I do the Being Found show with? He was going off about
how... I have no memory of my former coworkers.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. Clarify. he was going off about how he's been marathoning his way through all of the X-Files.
Oh, boy.
And then,
is he ready to come on the show?
Yeah. But that it was a really interesting sort of timeline of the evolution of the personal computer and cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Because as you watch each season back to back, you know, it's like in the very first season, she's like Doogie Howser, you know, she's always like writing her little thing at the end. And like it's fully like green text on a black screen, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. And their cell phones are huge. And
right.
then the first season, they didn't even have them at all. They got to get to a phone booth to call the main office, you know. And then he also said it was a really interesting timeline of people's glasses.
Yeah.
That glasses were, like, all kind of wiry and weird in the beginning, and then they got all kind of fashionable towards the end.
Well, the truth is out there
in
terms of glasses.
Is out there, and so is a commercial break, which is what we're coming up on to. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have our guest, Earl Grey, from the Mutual UFO Network. Much too loud.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
And our guest, Earl Gray. Earl, you have a very long title. Let me cover this here. Assistant State Director, Southern California, MUFON, Chief Field Investigator, Star Team at MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network. Did I get everything?
Yeah, I'm also actually a member of Kathleen Martin and Denise Stoner's extraterrestrial research team now, so you have to, I guess I have to amend that on my business card elsewise.
Totally, you're going to have a business,
I'm a busy guy.
You're going to have a business card that has like another little flap that flaps down so that you can cover your big title.
Yeah.
You know, our very first guest that we ever had on this show was Dev Rooney. At the time, I'm not sure what she does now, but she was the assistant director of the Northern California MUFON, and she was our very first guest. We had like five shows where we were first starting out. We didn't really kind of know what we were doing, so we were just kind of winging it, and she was like our first guest, and really it was a great success. And
that's why we have guests.
And that's why we have guests all the time now, yeah. And we're really happy to have you back on the show. But the first thing that I got to tell my audience is your name is Earl Gray. And there is no way that that doesn't raise an eyebrow. How'd you get a name like Earl Gray?
Well, I'll tell you how that happened. And it does raise eyebrows sometimes. I'm a musician, and around 1989 or so, I was playing a lot of gigs out here in Los Angeles. And I happened to hang out at an old sort of a coffee house gathering place called the Iguana that was out here in the San Fernando Valley. And it was sort of a hangout spot where Don Joe from the band X would hang out. I'd wind up, you know, opening up and sometimes even jamming a couple times with Xing Cervenka from X. And, you know, everybody had their little musician pseudonyms.
Well, this show knows that I am a punk rock, garage rock fan, so I am definitely a fan of X. So I'm excited already.
There you go. Well, you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, my birth name is Earl Anderson. And I was playing one club where Eric Anderson would play, and they would mess. They would, you know, sometimes our audiences would get confused. They come out on the wrong night, so everything kind of led me to, you know, I sort of need a different, you know, musician name and something more memorable. And so I was, you know, I guess I was at the store or something. I saw a box of Earl Grey tea, of course, and I started laughing. I was like, wow. That's free advertising. You know, I'd play a lot of acoustic gigs and coffee houses. You know? Right. So there I am on the menu, right? You know?
Right.
That
so is
that was
funny.
1989, and now my kids call me Earl Grey. Everybody, nobody really knows me as Earl Grey Anderson, except you know, I kind of use that at MUFON, the full title. But Earl Grey, I don't know. It served me pretty well. I thought I haven't had any, you know. Not any real negative situations with it. I guess it could scare an experiencer or something if they thought perhaps I was a hybrid or so far.
You know, with a name like Chauncey, I haven't gotten many nicknames throughout my life, so I'm impressed. I need to come up with a moniker.
No, Chauncey's perfect.
I know another Chauncey, actually.
Do you?
Another musician.
Well, clearly he has to die.
Right, totally.
There can only be one.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so without going into MUFON yet, really, what led you there? You know, what was, you know, everybody has a first experience that really got them interested in this stuff. You know, what was your life that sort of steered you in that direction?
For myself, it happened at a very young age. My mom was Howard Hughes' personal secretary. She worked out at the Hughes Aircraft Building that was out here, you know, on Santa Monica Boulevard and Sepulveda, I think was kind of the area where it was at. And she used to speak with him through an intercom system. At this point, he was being very reclusive. And I think my mom had originally been hired as a stenographer. She was, you know, one of those who could do shorthand without batting an eye. You know, everything that she would write was in shorthand, really.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, she was working for Howard Hughes, and he started sending her out to locations to do his bidding and to, you know, to also do the stenography work, I guess. So my mom started working in deep underground military labs. Now, when I was about 5 years old, she told me this story where she said, well, there's a little city under the desert that people don't know about, son. I went out there, and you go down in an elevator. Takes you way, way, way down, and the doors open up, and there's a little town, you know, where they get around in golf carts. You know, they had a movie theater, cafes. And this was back in the 1950s. As best as I can, as I've been able to gather, it was probably around 1956 to 58 when she was going out there. So that was, you know, one of those things where as a little kid, your parent tells you something and it's kind of, you know, I didn't really think a whole lot about it.
I don't know. It's got my imagination reeling as is, you know. It makes me think of all these great movies and stories, and, man, that would fire up my imagination at that age, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It was the beginning of the space age. I mean, I was growing up watching the Mercury launches and all that. And later on, you know, I mean, my mom was more or less breaking her security clearance telling me that. But, you know, I guess that she thought that I was young enough that I would forget about it. Problem is I kept bringing it up. And I don't think it bothered her too much at first because she had retired from the business. She was trying to be a housewife. But later on, she went back into aerospace. She actually wound up being a headhunter for Lockheed Skunk Works, as well as she worked a lot for Rocketdyne out here and the Rockwell Science Center, but primarily for Lockheed. So around the mid-70s, she really clammed up. She wouldn't talk about it at all because she was using her security clearances again. But going back when I was a kid, my mom never really talked about them in the same subject line, but my mom seemed to know an awful lot about extraterrestrial life. I mean, she would bring it up every once in a while, and she would say things like, you know, that it was a very real phenomenon, that we know about it, that UFOs, you know, while some are hoaxes, it's actually a real thing, that you shouldn't laugh at the subject. And so I grew up hearing, you know, about the underground lab that my mom worked in. And then I grew up hearing her talking very authoritatively about extraterrestrial life, as if it was a given, as if we knew that it was out there already. Now, it wasn't till later in my life, maybe when I had read The Day After Roswell or something. I wasn't really a UFO guy, you know. I didn't really read the literature. I read a lot of science fiction. I was always obsessed with outer space. But then I started putting it together. It's like, oh, you know, so the underground labs have something to do with the extraterrestrial thing. So I started getting a little more pointed with my questions.
Right. She didn't like that.
And at this point, yeah, my mom would get mad, you know, when I would bring it up. It's just like, I can't talk about it.
Earl, let me cut you off there. I like where this is headed to, but we are coming up on our commercial break, and I don't want to miss any of it. So you are listening to Earl Gray from the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Are you looking to move on up to the east side? The east side of Reading has many, many things to offer, including the Palomar Experience. It's Highland Park in the beautiful east side of Reading. These high-quality luxury homes brought to you by Palomar Builders feature many luxury amenities, including green technology like radiant barrier roof sheathing, high-efficiency, quick-recovery gas water heaters, energy-efficient LED and fluorescent lighting, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and showerheads, and programmable irrigation systems. Exterior and interior features, including designer kitchens with granite slab countertops, stylish islands in some plans, and walk-in pantries with door. And the east side is close to shopping and to freeway access. To find Highland Park, just go north on Churn Creek, look for the signs to make a left on Bodenhammer, and you'll find the Palomar Experience. Highland Park, come see the model home. Contact Debbie Morgan, Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 604-2127. For Palomar Builders, Highland Park.
To Radio Wasteland and our guest, Earl Gray, from the Mutual UFO Network. Earl, when we left and we went to commercial, you were telling us that you had gotten to a point where you really started to get interested in aliens and UFOs beyond reading science fiction, and your mom had known something due to her work, and your questions were starting to get a little more poignant and a little more to the point. Although I think I just was a little repetitive there, but can you pick us up from there?
Sure. Well, you know, there were a couple of, you know, just a few instances where my mom became more transparent and started talking. And I found that if I took her to movies, I could get a little more info. And it kind of became a thing. And probably when I really hit the jackpot was I took her to see Star Wars when it first came out, 1977. And, there weren't a whole lot of people in the theater. It was the first week the film had come out. I'd read about it in Time magazine and took her, you know. And after the film, she started talking about it. She was really excited. She was saying things like, you know, son, Star Wars is not all that far-fetched. There really is intelligent life out there. We know about it. And she started talking a bit, and then it was like she would catch herself, and then she'd clam up. But, you know, for some reason, that film really moved her, and I got a little bit more out of her. She actually said that, yeah, we know. I mean, it's already a given in certain circles in government and aerospace. She didn't elaborate on that, so I took her to see the movie E.T. a few years later. Kind of like, well, let's see what we can hear now, you know. And the only comment she had after that film was that, well, it's a cute film, son, but I don't think they're all that nice. And that was it.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, that's worrying.
I don't like that.
And I don't know that I agree with that, you know, myself, just in my own research as a you know, chief field investigator for MUFON. I'm finding that there's more, that while some people are horrified by the ontological change that happens in their worldview and their philosophy of things, that once they get past that, I think that it was Edgar Mitchell's group, the free research group, they did many, you know, they pulled like thousands of experiencers, and 60% of them were asked the question, if you could stop being taken today, would you have it end? 60% of them said no, that it had actually been a positive in their lives.
Yeah.
That they had, you know, things like psychic abilities and empathy. And so, you know, I don't even know, you know, I think that my mom was coming from a military point of view, that you know, it's obviously a national security threat.
Totally, a post-atomic point of view.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, my mom, towards the end of her life, she kept getting unrelated cancers. She kept getting, I mean, she must have been radiated. And we finally talked about it towards the end of her life. She was dying. She was on her deathbed. And she became more transparent again. You know, it was right around where Bill Clinton had actually said there is an Area 51, and the reason why he had to disclose that was because there was a successful lawsuit that was brought against them by a bunch of former employees who suffered health problems from whatever they had been exposed to. And so I tried to get my mom to lawyer up and to go after them. You know, it's like, you know, you've got to go to Europe. You know, I mean, my mom had this extra money coming into where she would go take a Europe trip every single year, you know, but I felt like, well, you know, nothing's worth your life. And her comment towards, you know, it was maybe 2 weeks before she actually passed away, was that she knew exactly what she had been getting into, that she was doing her patriotic duty for her country just as a soldier would do, and taking the risks of going into battle, and that she wouldn't sue anybody and she wouldn't change anything if she could. So that kind of, that was that, you know. And that was all that she really disclosed to me, you know, other than that she worked in deep underground labs in the middle of the desert. She talked about, I mean, she knew people like Wernher von Braun. She said that she knew him. He was a charming man, she said. You know, she would sometimes in my life, you know, she would punctuate conversations with these, you know, kind of outrageous things. But it's like, well, you know where I, how, what I was working in. And I actually did know Wernher. He was very charming. He called me Betty Grace. That was her first middle name.
All right.
Sort of so, like as a pet name.
Right. So that is absolutely amazing. And it gets you here to MUFON. For our audience, maybe you can give us a brief explanation of what MUFON is.
Well, we are the oldest the oldest UFO research group in the world. Next year will be our 50-year anniversary. We have 3,000 members, or I think it's 4,000 members worldwide. And the thing that's distinctly amazing about MUFON is that you can become a hands-on UFO researcher with a caseload. I started looking into MUFON. I knew that, you know, I became very armchair detective about the UFO phenomena after my mom passed away. That's when I started actually getting very serious about it. And MUFON offered me the chance to go out and research UFOs with contemporary, people will, you can go to the MUFON, MUFON.com, and you can fill out a sighting report if you see a UFO. And you will get people that are knowledgeable in the phenomena and that will go out and will research your UFO for you, see if there are other corroborating witnesses that may have seen the same UFO. And it's, we use a scientific method. More or less, we use the guidelines that Dr. J. Allen Hynek set back during the Project Blue Book period back in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
So, or 60s and 70s. And that's the way that we research them. You know, it's the scientific study of UFOs for the benefit of humanity is our little creed. And it really is that way.
So as a field, as a field investigator, I think the number one thing on a lot of listeners' minds who are captivated by this, have you found anything really quite amazing when you're out there doing the field investigations? Anything mind-blowing?
I've had some mind-blowing cases. Some mind-blowing cases.
That's the best answer to that question.
That's my favorite answer.
I don't know if I just have a propensity for it or if I've just been lucky, but I've been doing this for about 3.5 years now, and I have 16 confirmed unknowns, which, an unknown is how we classify actual UFO. And we want evidence. That's the main thing. Everybody seems to have or has heard a UFO story, but we want witnesses. We want Geiger counter readings if there was a landing or, it's just like we approach it very scientifically. Mm-hmm. Even though the phenomena has fuzzy edges to it, the more I look into it, the more I think the quantum entanglement has a lot to do with how they travel, how they seem to have telepathic influence on us, the way that they can communicate with people. But I've had many experiencer cases where people have been taken or visited. I have one guy who is a Homeland Security agent, actually a very important one locally here. And from the age 7 up to right now, he's had recurring visits from extraterrestrial entities. And this is a guy who, he's looking after our national security, and airports and such. So, I have people from all walks of life. I had another case last year that actually got picked for the book that MUFON just put out, The Year's Best Cases. And I had two women in Azusa, California here, who took chase after two UFOs in their car. We had another witness who saw the same thing in the next town over. They saw the UFOs coming, and he saw them going. So I had a third corroborative witness on the case. And more or less, these women chased after
Earl. Mm-hmm. Let me cut you off there. We're coming up on the commercial break. We'll pick this story up when we come back. You're listening to Earl Gray here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well done. This compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This is a repeat broadcast of Radio Wasteland. Also, Jay's Market in Old Shasta today till 3. Any car fire victims that are in need of basic necessities such as water or diapers, things like that, they're offering donated supplies of these. Jay's Market in Old Shasta today till 3 and tomorrow from 1 to 3. So, again, any car fire victims in need of any sort of things like that, go to Jay's Market in Old Shasta. When everybody's heard about the bird.
To Radio Wasteland, and our guest Earl Gray from the Mutual UFO Network, better known as MUFON. When we went to commercial break, you were telling us about one of your experiences as a field investigator where the two women had seen the UFO and taken off chase after it. Guy in the town over saw the UFO coming and the women coming after it. Is that right?
The women saw it approaching, and the guy in the next town over saw them leaving. It was two UFOs. I guess you would call them orbs. They were these orangish red orbs about the size of a car. And they saw two of these that were just sort of chasing over the treetops, and they took chase after it in their car. They drove sort of a circuitous path through downtown D'Souza, and finally they got caught up in a cul-de-sac near a park that's in D'Souza. They watched the two orbs continue towards the, I guess it's the San Bernardino Mountains or the San Gabriel Mountains, the range that's there. And they were hovering doing what we call the falling leaf motion, sort of going up and down, just hovering there. So they're watching this, and then there's this light behind them. They turn around, and hovering over the house that was next to the park was a full-on, best I can describe it, a flying saucer. It was 35 feet across, and it looked like it had camouflage or sort of it was blinking in and out of existence as it hung there. So you would see the saucer, and then you would see it disappear for a second, but you would still see the little orbs that were under it, which seemed to, the woman thought that it was probably something to do with the propulsion system. So they watched this hanging there, and it just it hung there for a while, and I guess about a couple of minutes, and then it just took off. It was gone. Now, these two women were very intelligent. I grilled them and grilled them. They've been interviewed, I guess, three different times, just extensively. Our state director, Jeff Krause, came out and interviewed them independent of myself. And it was a good enough case that BuzzFeed actually came out, and they did a episode on this UFO sighting. Mm. And there you go. That's kind of the end of that story.
Right.
But it was a really good and confirmed, and that was actually chosen as one of the better UFO cases of last year.
Right, right.
And because that was my case.
Because of all the corroboration. You know, we have guests on this show, and some of them are, when it comes to aliens, it seems like some people have this, idea of what they're up to and some sort of global conspiracy thing. There are these people who are mentally connected and communicating with Zeta Reticuli. And then there are these sort of nuts and bolts researchers that are all about the facts, the paperwork, and putting this stuff down. And so I bring this up to let our listeners know that MUFON is while the members may have their separate belief systems and thoughts, what MUFON itself is collecting is really sort of nuts and bolts facts and testimonies and very scientific, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's something
I mean,
really
we would have brought
about
out a Geiger counter to the hover point. We would have, you know, done soil samples, but the gentleman that owned the house was adamantly against it. You know, I guess that he was a religious fellow. And he well, that's the, you know, his whole attitude was get off my property. So
I see.
Unfortunately, we weren't able to follow it up as well as I would have liked to have, because I believe we would have, you know, it was hovering over this old tree, and I think that we probably would have gotten material evidence.
You know,
at least you know, a Geiger counter hit off of it.
Right.
But that's the way we do it. We're very scientific about it.
We don't have too much more time in the interview, so I want to ask you a question that that I like to ask any UFO researcher, and I realize this is conjecture. It's a little contrary to what MUFON does, but I'm always curious about what the intention is of these alien visitors. Do you have any speculation, or have you come across anything that really sort of tells us the intention? Like, why are they even here? Why would they abduct people? Why be here so secretively? You know, what is, do you get what I'm asking?
Yes. Well, my personal view, and it doesn't mean that this is the reality, but it's just, we, like you're saying, we all kind of course, have, you know, what our personal thoughts on the issue. And, I think that they may be doing something about human evolution. I think that we're kind of a dangerous species, for one thing. I mean, just look at the wars, and you look how they've, you know, how we've had UFOs that have hovered over and even shut down missile systems. They're obviously trying to tell us something. And there are those that believe that they're trying to kick up our evolutionary, you know, path a little quicker before we destroy ourselves.
Right.
I mean, I kind of think of Earth as a wild animal park. I think that, you know, they come here, they tranquilize us, they track certain people, they do medical experiments, and it reminds me very much of an animal sanctuary and how the caretakers sort of treat the animal sanctuary, and maybe that's what we are.
Yeah, I was actually talking
so
about
that. Hypothesis guy.
I think I was talking about this a show or two back, where basically I grew up watching nature shows, and it's not like the monkeys knew they were being videotaped and tracked, and that all the rest of us were sitting back here watching monkeys thinking how interesting it is, and that might be what you're saying, you know?
Yeah, I think that we haven't had full disclosure. I think that it may actually be our visitors that don't want us to have full disclosure. It would kind of destroy what they're doing right now.
Right, right. Well, it's amazing how some of these science fiction shows and writers, you know, end up stumbling across things that are truths and stuff like that. And one of those truths might be this Star Trek Prime Directive where, you know, maybe we're hovering on some level where we're getting close to figuring it out for ourselves, but we're not ready for the communication, you know, where we're getting close to being there where it's undeniable. But maybe they're saying, like, no, we don't want this crazy monkey channel up in our space station, you know. for lack of a better way to put it, I mean, you know, nobody wants a rhino in their space
station.
That's
Spock, you know. I think the Prime Directive might be a very real thing. That maybe Gene Roddenberry knew something. I don't know. He was old Navy, I guess, wasn't he?
Yeah, but they don't even have to know anything. I mean, human imagination, you know, I think a big part of the problem is that human imagination – you know, ends up creating these science fiction shows, and then when people start to propose it as a real thing, people go, oh, well, Gene Roddenberry already came up with that. And you can say, well, yeah, he was smart. He came up with a totally plausible answer. That doesn't mean that the answer is not true. You know, I find that anything that has been made into something fiction, if you bring it up as a possible real thing, people kind of automatically kind of scoff at it a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's... Yes, there is that, and of course, the phenomena has had a ridicule factor from, you know, day one. But there's obviously a lot of people in the government that take it very, very seriously. We're seeing the release of some of these videos from, you know, the To the Stars group now that were, you know, the Nimitz affair that happened in 2004 apparently was a real thing. You know, there's still some question marks around the details of it, but, you know, it was certainly real enough that they sent up a bunch of F-18s to you know, go after it. And, yeah, that's, you know, it's very serious, you know, taken very seriously in the government and in the military. But there's the scoff factor that happens out here. And it's still there to a certain extent, but isn't as bad as it used to be. I mean, now it's kind of cool if you see a UFO. and that's the problem, you know. I mean, I have to, I mean, 95% of what I have to do for MUFON is tell people why what they saw wasn't a UFO, you know, because everybody wants to see one now. And there's a lot of drones and a lot of Chinese lanterns and, you know, Mars has been really bright lately. And then we've got Elon Musk shooting stuff up from Vandenberg over here.
Right.
I think we had 18 different UFO reports on the Dragon 9 ship that he sent up last year. I had to close about half of those myself. It was about an hour's worth of paperwork for each one. But there you go.
Right.
Worth it when you get to the real UFO.
Well, I'm really a prime example of this. You know, I have never seen a UFO. I have never had a paranormal experience. I just have talked to enough people who have that I find it incredibly interesting, and I want to know more, you know. We're coming up on the end of the show here. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about how they can find out about you and how they can find out about MUFON?
Certainly. Well, we have losangelesmufon.com. Or MUFONLosAngeles.com, which is our local group here. I encourage everybody to go to MUFON.com, the main website for our organization. You can become a member, or if you so desire, we need field investigators. We have a lot of UFO sightings here in Southern California, and I'll put you to work. I mean, you'll be mentored, and we'll put you to work. And you can do that by going to MUFON.com and just click on how to become a field investigator. That's what I did, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life.
All right. Well, thank you.